friends. We're between games right now. And before we get into the next one, it's discussion time. This is Table Topics, where we read stories from Reddit having to do with situations in the tabletop world. We will react, discuss, and give our opinions on the chosen topics for you to enjoy and possibly take back to your gaming table. I'm your host, Kaylee, and my guest today is Ian.
Hello, hello, hello.
Today's topic is table talk. So let's get into it. Hi, Ian.
Hello.
Back again.
I'm excited to be here as always. I'm really excited to see where this episode goes, to be honest. So
yeah, it's a broad topic.
Yes. I'm really curious about what we have to talk about today.
And I already know it's going to be a part one. I know there's going to be a part two because there's a lot of
I'm sure
issues with table talk.
I already have a response to all this, so I'm curious. I'm really curious where this goes.
You're like, my responses are locked and loaded.
Yes.
Well, to that end, I think I haven't played with you that often, but I think you're pretty cool with many levels of table talk. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's accurate?
Yes. I think in the games probably that we've played, we've been like very like, okay, we got to play the game. But like we generally, there is table talk happening. I think in my normal game day to day, I am totally down for people to be talking at the table. I don't do a ton of talking at the table normally because I'm trying to like keep the game moving. And so I'm like trying to just make sure I'm kind of like the, you know, the guy just keeping all the ties together, just holding it all together, keeping the game flowing. But I enjoy table talk. I think it's great, even if it's not about the game or whatever you want to talk about. I am totally for it. I think it's great.
So this is interesting because I'm mostly referring to table talk in terms of talking about the games, mm-hmm, or like advising people. And yeah, it seems like you're also including just chatter.
I'm including all of it. I think it's, yeah, I'm okay with all of it.
Just some good chat.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Yes.
I'm no, gonna start doing more accents on this podcast.
There you go. I guess if it's about the game, that is fantastic. I will see how far we go into it here.
Okay.
Because there's always an extreme here, but I also do include like actual, you know, if we were talking about something that is not the game, then you do have to be careful in that scenario as well. But yeah, I in general, usually all forms, I don't really care. I think it's okay. Good.
Yeah. When I've played with you and Jared together, you guys get spicy with each other sometimes.
We absolutely do. Yeah.
You're very much like, yeah, you would do that.
We do like to do that a lot. So yes, we get feisty. I think, no, especially if it's people that I know, I kind of egg them on a little bit. I really like, I try and dig in, you know,
yeah,
to the whole experience. And so I think it's fun. Yeah. I think again, I'm a competitive person. So if there's an opportunity for me to like, kind of, you know, I don't know, stick the knife in and like twist it, you know,
you go for it.
I kind of go for it. So, yeah, it usually comes back to bite me. But I think all of those things, as long as the right person and you know them, I think it's totally OK.
Yeah, I think it's so funny because when I have Ashley on, she has very similar philosophy. She loves to be competitive. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of raised that very like demure, you know, walk one foot in front of the other, mm-hmm, be quiet. Like not, you know, women are to be seen and not heard. It wasn't okay. That bad,
okay,
right?
Good, good.
But it was just this very genteel kind of attitude to things.
Yeah.
So when we went to set up the game table retreat last year, mm-hmm, and for the first couple hours, it was just me, you, and Jared.
Yeah.
And I think we got out, let's go to Japan.
Yeah.
And immediately you guys were like after each other. And that's not even a very like directly competitive game.
No, it's like
game.
The least competitive. Like there's no player interaction
hardly
at all.
I'm just sitting over here planning like an actual good vacation and all this. And you guys were like going off on each other.
Yeah.
And I felt so much like I don't have brothers, but I felt like if I had older brothers, this is.
Yeah.
This is what it would be.
I take that as a compliment, I think, but no, I think it's fun. I think
it's not a compliment. Yeah. It was just interesting
to
me.
No, I think we have a good relationship, so I think that's, we do it on purpose, and I think it's fun. Now, I mean, it is challenging, because there's some people you can't do that with, and I get in trouble because I do that to a lot of people. So if I've ever done that to you, I apologize. Like if
I was cool with it. I got a little caught up in it and I started participating and I started being more sassy on that trip. And then after about 2 days of doing it, I was like exhausted.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was like, oh my God, I've been too wild.
I've been too wild.
Shame on me. I need to calm it down. I'm probably offending people left and right.
That's funny.
And it's just that thing that you've internalized. But I was fine.
Okay.
I just started being like self-critical in a weird way. Like I was like glad for you guys to do whatever, but I started being.
That's funny. No, I think, yeah. Well, one on a long weekend of gaming, you kind of like at the end of it, everybody's just kind of like, okay, I'm going to do this now. Cause your brain's like fried. I think overall, yeah. I always have fun with it. And again, it depends on the person, but I don't take things from the game into another game or whatever. Like, that's not something that I'm doing. I'm leaving it all on the table. I'm having fun and goofing around and, you know, maybe giving somebody a hard time on something. But in general, I'm not keeping it from game to game. So that's, I don't take it personal.
We had really good banter when we were playing Rock Hard.
Oh, yes.
Because I had some things line up very specifically that I was like the romantic singer. And then I also had a card called like the lover or something. So I had this like stacked ability to go backstage and do what lovers do.
That's right.
And I was racking up points. And I think I got 12 or 15 victory points when you guys were still in the low numbers.
Early, just trying to get it started.
And you just started being like, wait, no, wait.
Yeah.
We have to stop her.
Yeah. I was a little frustrated. I'm like, how in the world are you scoring so many points? That was a really well played game, by the way. And I've tried to replicate it and I can't. So
really?
You've done so well. Yeah, that was such an interesting game because I remember I'm like I kind of have to say something because like everybody at the table is new. I have to be really careful. Like, I don't like ganging up on anybody. So. Mm-hmm. But in that game, you were so far ahead. I'm like, guys, like you guys need to score some points or something. Like we need to do something this is not going to be fun for anybody.
But I think you guys did. I think you did a really good job of blocking me off concerts and holding up the record.
You get a record and then a mixtape and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, it's going from like a demo to a full record and all that. You guys did a really good job of blocking those off for me, but it was like too late.
Yeah.
Because I could just go backstage and spooch some people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, just making love in the back. Backstage. You didn't even touch the stage. It just didn't matter. You were a rock star behind stage.
I was loving an elevator.
Yeah, dude, that game will be in my memory forever because it was like one of the second or third game I ever played, but then I never seen a game played like that. And then you like dominated. I think I might've caught up, but I was still like 20 points behind you, which is a lot in that game. So I think you ended the game early, which I also hadn't seen just because you scored so many points early. And so then it was like a catch up. I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to find ways to score points at this point. And so that was a really fun time though. And yes, I remember giving you a hard time, but you were giving right back. It was great. Yeah. And I think the whole table was like, what are they doing? Like, and I'm like, we know each other. We're fine.
Yeah, guys. It's okay. And that was another thing too, though. Like my internalized, you have to act a certain way was also like, I was having to put that aside and be like, okay, my character takes out my ex bandmate's girlfriend.
Exactly.
And get some songs out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you had to just play to what was happening. And that was a great game.
Yeah.
Very on theme. Very fun.
The more I've played that game, I've enjoyed it. It's so good. So I think it's called Rock Hard in 1977, I think. Anyway, it was it's just such a cool game. You get to become a rock star. I guess if you don't even have to play music to be the rock star, you could do whatever you want, but it's about becoming a rock star. So
yeah, you don't have to play music. I think all I ever did were the pop-up gigs.
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
And then just hang out.
You just hung out with the right people at the right time and got popular.
Know how it goes. Well, we'll get into some Reddit stories. This one comes from r/boardgames from Dealer Soggy. Am I the problem for not disclosing the move for my turn? Happy Thanksgiving. So this was posted around Thanksgiving.
Okay. Oh,
mystery.
No.
Yeah,
here we go.
So my family was playing the Sequence board game. At one point in the game, I was able to remove an opponent's chip from the board. My brother asked which chip I removed. I simply responded with, "You should have been paying attention, and I do not have to share what I chose to do on my turn." He responded poorly and stated I was being a bad sport or unsportsmanlike, and that I had to share my move, and that it was the right thing to do. We got in a heated argument over it, ended up stopping the game because he was the one being a bad sport. Anyway, how do you all play the game? Do you openly share your recent moves with your opponent if they ask? The way I see it, you snooze, you lose. Pay more attention and survey the board for your next best play. There's an edit, but that's where the original story ends.
Oh, man. This is hard. This is... because I feel like both are in the right at times, depending...
I think that's true. I think if you were playing with newbies, you can't be like, snooze, you lose.
Yeah,
too bad.
Yeah, can't do that. The way I personally view it, when it comes to games that do have things that you're like keeping track of like other people, because it is hard to keep track of everybody's moves. I feel like what your most recent move, you don't need to tell me your whole like seven turns, but like, your last turn, if you know I wasn't paying attention, like, yeah, that's on me, but like I feel like that's kind of public knowledge. Like, it's like, what did you do on your turn? And if you're like removing somebody else's pieces, like, that's kind of a big deal. And if you did it like when they weren't looking, like, that's not their fault. Like, if they were having a conversation or looked away for a second, you did something that seems kind of sneaky, so I don't love that. Sequence is like that. Like, I grew up playing that game, so I think it's funny that this is mentioned, because like, that stuff would happen. But I do think, like, if you remove somebody else's piece ever in a game, I think it's good for them to know.
Yeah.
And it's not like... I think there's an ample amount of time between you doing it and then them asking. But if it's, like, been, like, 5 minutes ago, like, maybe not. But if it's, like, it just happened, I removed this piece here, like...
If it was the 5 seconds I was taking a drink or checking a text or something.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, I think that's a little bit.
Yeah, if it was, what did you do last phase? You're like, well, I don't even.
Yeah, I'm not going to tell you. I don't know. But I do think, I mean, if it's specific games that are, you know, everything on your turn is a little bit more like, you know, you don't want to reveal everything, then you shouldn't be revealing everything you did on your turn. So it kind of just depends. But I think in my way of looking at it is, because if somebody asked me, like, hey, what did you do on your turn? And there's like two players between us and they ask, what did I do on my turn? Like, I'm fine to offer that. Like, that's fine. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
So that's the way I go about it. But I do understand both point of view. I really do. Because it's like, what did I do? You know, I removed something and I didn't want you to know. Like, there's some things where you don't want the other person to notice. So I do get that. I understand that part of like not wanting to share everything. So it's tricky.
Yeah. I love these stories sometimes where it's two brothers or two really good friends.
Yep.
and they both just take a hard stance.
Yeah.
And you get nowhere and the game has to stop. And you're like, guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like we could come to an agreement. Like, I feel like I would eventually be like, yeah, just I took your piece. It's fine. Like, I wouldn't make a big deal out of it. This is a little ridiculous.
Yeah. Oh, funny, though. And it happens. And people write about it on Reddit, and I get to have a podcast.
That's right. So there you go.
You know.
We all win.
We all win. So edited to add. There was no malice involved in my decision. I did not cheat. My friends and I play this game almost weekly and have for the past 2 years. Not a super difficult game, but in our strategy, we do not disclose our gameplay if someone misses it. So in my defense, I was playing against my brother in the same way my friends and I play. I've come to the conclusion that my friends and I are probably problems and my brother can't hang. On another note, for those who do play this game and know the rules, do you always disclose your moves? I'm genuinely curious. To me and my friends, it just doesn't make sense to disclose every move that is made if someone misses or isn't paying attention. For new people, yes, we will help and share information until everyone is more comfortable with the game, but we had all played before and had already played multiple games.
I think it's a good point. Like, if it's a group that has played this game like a million times, like, absolutely not. We're not sharing anything.
Oh, yeah, make it cutthroat.
Yeah. But if it's like you hadn't played this game a bunch with people, then let's just be a little bit more relaxed.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay. Another name test for me. This is either an abbreviation for Pokemon or Pikmin. But I'm going to say Pokemon because I like them.
Yep.
Tim Pokemon 89 says, if stealth's not part of the game, it's public knowledge. I generally narrate everything regardless. And then they quote OP, ended up stopping the game because he was the one being a bad sport. And responds, are you sure about that?
Are you sure about that?
It was your brother.
I mean, I don't sit there and narrate everything.
Yeah.
That's a little much. I mean, there are times, though, if it's like including myself is like new to a game, then I might be like, okay, so what did you do on your turn? Like, I'm asking that about every, like, if I didn't catch or like, I am kind of like giving everybody kind of a brief overview of what everybody's done on their turn. If it's especially if people are new, but I wouldn't do that if like we played before.
Yeah. So OP responds and says, I wouldn't necessarily say stealth is part of the game, but I personally do not want to draw attention to where I have played or specifically point out my strategy, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Again, my response was nothing more than you should pay attention and I do not have to disclose my move. Nothing more, nothing less. But I mean, saying it that dry is a little confrontational, but okay. It's not a question of if my brother was being a problem. He was.
There you go. How direct of you.
I love this. My mother and his wife would agree that he overreacted. Reminding you, he started calling me names.
Oh.
We're defending here.
Okay.
My question is, am I a problem for choosing not to disclose my move? It was not hidden. 4 other people saw it. The consensus seems to be that I am a problem, and I'm okay with it. Just the way my friends and I play the game with each other, I guess.
So, this is the difference and from with this game is that he removed one of his pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think when you're removing somebody else's pieces, that is important because sometimes like you don't remember what you had on the board. Like if you weren't looking at that side of the board and you were focused in and then somebody stole something over on this side, on the other opposite side, then like my brain wouldn't always just recognize that until maybe later.
Yeah.
And so that I think that is important to share. But yeah, in general, like if I put a piece down and you weren't paying attention, then like it is what it is. Like I might share, I might not. I don't know. But I don't know. Yeah, it's challenging.
I like when stealth is part of the game. Even though it ends up working against me sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I think the last time, or one of the more recent times, Nate and I were home, with my family, we played a game called Doink,
mm-hmm.
which has a like spoons type of element where you have to grab for things.
Yeah.
And I was so out of it. Like, I don't know if I was tired or I was just chatting too much, whatever. But I never grabbed a pig. I missed it every time. And then so there was one time that the other three like silently agreed that they were just going to take him and sit and wait for me to notice.
Okay. Yeah.
I think we were like 4 or 5 turns past when the game had ended.
There you go.
Where I was like, wait, yep. where's the pigs?
So, yeah, I think if it's like a game that's designed to be sneaky, then it's different.
Yeah.
Like that's, you don't, like the point is to not disclose everything that's happening. But like Sequence is like, there's an open board with everything is public. Like it's not like you're hiding anything. Like I'm putting my piece down and everybody can see it. So like, I feel like in that scenario, like it's okay to share what you did. But in a sneaky game like that or any other games where there's like, there's a little bit of hiddenness of exactly like, what am I don't want to reveal everything that I'm doing or where I'm placing. Then, yeah, it's a little different.
Have you ever played or seen the shorts of people playing the Call of Duty like prop hunt?
Yes.
Game?
Love it. I love it.
I got on a stream of like watching those and being like, this is so funny.
Mm-hmm.
This is so cool to watch people walk around and then shoot barrels.
Yeah, exactly.
And then sometimes it's the prop and it just runs across the field.
Absolutely.
Never played Call of Duty, but I got into watching those videos and now they're making that a board game.
They are. I saw that.
And I'm like, I my chance is coming.
Yeah.
My chance is coming, guys.
No. So that's an example. Like one, like that's a game that's designed to be that way.
Yeah.
And even the video game itself, like, yeah, it's kind of goofy and everybody's just, yeah, you're trying to just hide. Like it's a totally different experience, a totally different game. Like, especially in board game form, like it's meant to be kind of sneaky and goofy. So yeah. Therefore you shouldn't be revealing anything at all. Everything yeah. is a mystery.
No, you've got, it's all visual trickery at that point. This wasn't posted to something where they actually get a ruling problem or not the problem. But the comments seem to say either you're the problem or everybody sucks. There's no one, you know, unequivocally on his side.
I mean, I get where he's coming from, but I don't think, based off the scenario that they have explained, I don't think they were in the right. If it was like his other friend group that they played all the time, then yeah, maybe.
I think he was bringing homebrew rules to a new table.
Exactly.
And that doesn't always mesh.
No, you can't do that.
Okay. The first story was to do with some strategy. We're going to continue that theme.
Okay.
As we go on. Popping over to one of my favorites, r/Catan.
Yeah.
From Accomplished Al 654. And I'm going to skip. They give a lot of details.
Okay.
They give a lot of nitty gritty where the points are and who's got what.
Okay.
But I'm just going to tell you the scores.
Okay.
As the story goes on. It says, did I cross a line with this table talk? I need you guys and gals to tell me if I stepped over the line here. Consider this a Catan meets Am I the Problem? 4 players playing base game plus Harbor Master. Been a close game. Currently, blue has 8 points, orange has 7, red, me, has 6 points, and white has 6 points. So blue's winning.
Mm-hmm.
Orange is 1 behind. Orange has been up and down from the table during the game preparing dinner for the group, so maybe isn't paying complete attention to the game. It is my turn, then orange's turn, then blue. I know that blue has the cards in her hand to build a city on a harbor and win the game. 3 cities, 1 settlement, longest road, harbor master. So I say to orange, I know you want to build a city. Can I help you do that? And she says, no, I don't. I insist, yeah, you do. She stares at the board for a bit. Then the light bulb goes off and she says, oh, yeah. Anyway, we make a deal that gives her a city, keeping Blue from winning on that turn. Did I cross a line there? In the end, I came back and won the game, but both Orange and Blue thought I may have gone too far. Thoughts?
Oh boy. Oh, it's a fine line that they're dancing on. I don't know. What do you think? I'm kind of curious of what.
For me, I would let this slide because the person that you're helping is the one that's been up and down and had to do extra chores during this game.
Mm-hmm.
I can understand why some people would say that's the reason to not help.
Sure.
Because they would be like, well, they're already not invested or whatever, which I disagree with. But I think that's a reason that it's okay to help. However, there's a little bit of trickiness with like insisting that she needs to build a city. Because like saying it the one time and then her going, no, it's fine. And then saying it again is definitely
like really indicating.
Yeah.
Hey, really, by the way,
really leading the horse to water there. Like, and then are you coming back to win? That does
like put the salt in the wound.
It
a
does
little
incriminate
bit.
You.
Yeah, a it does.
Bit.
It's that's if you, they didn't win, I think it would have been like everybody would have been fine with it.
Yeah.
Man. Because I've been in both places where I've let it slide and then I didn't.
You want me to do some comments?
Yeah.
First
yeah, I mean, I gotta think through this. This is crazy. Yeah. It's just a hard line. Yeah, it's tough.
Well, just remember that they're asking the Catan community.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's why. Yeah, let's hear them out. Let's see what happens here.
Top comment from Trimbledore says, it's a trading game. This type of discussion forms a crucial component of trading. Besides, you may not be telling the truth or the whole truth, and that's part of the fun. There's a response to that from Off and Running that says, my group embraces Catan as a reflection of society.
Oh, gosh.
Where lying, campaigning, and blaming are all strategies.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Fair.
And come up with their own rewards and consequences. We usually play C&K to 13 victory points, and once someone has 10 victory points, the chatter really picks up.
Okay.
So these two in the top comments are arguing, yeah, this is fair.
Yeah.
Them's the breaks,
yeah,
kind of.
That's right. It is what it is. Ugh. Does anybody argue against it?
Not so far.
Not on there.
I'm 10 or 11 responses down and they're not in there. This one's a little measured. From Nguni. Table talk is governed by the group and highly depends on the social dynamics of your group. If two of the four players thought you went too far, then you did. End of. I would play that way in some groups, especially if they're all experienced gamers and trolls, but not in other groups, especially with children. Know your table.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point to make. I mean, it depends on who you're playing with in this scenario. So I would say how I normally approach this is that, especially in the gaming group that I have, I think it's totally fair. Like, everybody's competitive, especially in most games that I'm playing. Like, it's usually the same general group of people that we're playing with. And so some, you know, are there every time and some aren't, but still regardless, like, everybody knows each other. So I think there's an understanding, like, if somebody's like straight up gonna win and one to two people see it and the other person does it, they do kind of like pitch it like, hey,
sure,
by the way. So I think that's a totally fair thing in this scenario. And I think I'm with you that this person was like, it sounded like they were getting up and down at the table and you kind of miss, you don't like, again, if you're like cooking, like, you're not seeing everybody's moves and what city they build and what, how close they're, what cards they have in their hand. You didn't, especially that. What if they stood up and didn't realize something was rolled and they got two of something that...
Well, or, you know, in Catan, if they're having to stand up and go do a thing, they're probably not being able to participate in all the trades.
Absolutely.
Or, you know, if a robber's put on their property. Right. Like, you know.
Yep.
You can't do anything about it. So
it is trickier in Catan because you're just, there's a lot going on between turns too. There could be, so.
Yeah, other than that comment we just read, it seems like most people are saying, yeah, this is a part of Catan is to scheme.
Yep. I think that's totally fair. I'm trying to apply it to some other games though, like, you know, especially if like not everybody's there or not everybody's new to the game, you know, and I might be a little bit more like okay with saying like okay, like, and I think here's what I say, this is how I usually do it. If I know somebody's getting close, maybe they're not like literally one move away, but they're like getting close, I'll just mention like, okay, well, like, this is how many points you get for this. You know, it want the first person to get to here wins, guys. Just make sure you know. Like, I'm not trying to like totally say like, oh my God, they're one move away. Yeah. But like, and as we get closer, I try to just stay away. But especially as we get close to the end of the game, I think in general, I always mention end game stuff as we get like mid game, beginning of the game. And I mentioned a couple more times, definitely towards the end. And especially if they're like, they are one move away and they're like adding up their points or like, you know, they're about to make one move. I'm like, okay, like if he makes this move here, he's probably going to score enough to like get it close to the end. So that I do stuff like that, but I'm not like, are you sure? Like that stuff. I don't do stuff like that.
Yeah. We'll read this last comment from Square Tarbouge. Not the problem. I can understand blue being a bit salty, but if orange said, ooh, yeah, and agreed to the trade, I don't think she has much of a leg to stand on over here. Generally, it's annoying when you're trying to play the game and one person has to keep on leaving, but that's life sometimes, and totally understandable in this situation because she's preparing food for everyone, which is a really nice thing to do. My group would just help Orange with food prep so that it goes faster and everyone can play without distractions, but not everyone wants the extra help. We've got moms with kids in my group, and they have to keep on leaving to check on their babies. When they're back, it's perfectly normal to bring them up to speed on what happened while they were away. It's more fair to loop them in, if anything.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think it's totally a good thing to do.
No one should be penalized because they have unavoidable responsibilities. If Blue is hoping to win by taking advantage of Orange's absence, that actually makes her a bit of a problem. You're definitely not the problem.
I think that's a good comment. Yeah, I mean, they make some fair points. Yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, the age range for board gaming right now is very wide, but it is very popular with parents with children. Yeah. And you have to understand that that takes some sacrifice.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, I've been in scenarios where somebody has to step away for a minute. That's, you know, it's totally fine. And yeah, you kind of bring them back up to speed. And when, yeah, if somebody stepped away and they missed something valuable, I think it's okay to bring, say, like, hey, they just scored like 5 points on their turn. They're 5 points away from winning. Like those are totally things that you can say. And I think they're totally acceptable.
Or this game isn't this case, but if there was a game where it's like, oh, hey, just so you know, Blue's now 1 point away from winning.
Yeah.
That's more than valid.
Yeah, I mean, and like kind of the way I was saying, like when I'm playing a game like that, I'm saying, I'm honestly kind of narrating everybody's points as we go. I feel like if you just do it that way, it's like, it's consistent and it's fair. Like I announce with it, okay, I'm at 25. Okay, this guy, he's at 28, you know, all right, she's at 29.
As they score,
yeah.
Right.
Plus, if it's on the board, like everybody sees the points. And so,
yeah.
And I know some games, so like Catan's like that, where I don't think there's an actual like score track. I don't think around the board or like a normal score track on how many points everybody has. You kind of just add it up based on what they have in front of them. Mm-hmm. But that is public knowledge. So it's tough because the points are public knowledge, so it's not like hidden points that you're saving up for the end of the game.
Right.
So that is public. So, I mean, especially if somebody stepped away for a minute, that should be shared with everybody. So.
No, back to my like example of sea, salt, and paper. or even Hand and Foot or similar card games like Rummy would be similar to this. Sometimes there's reasons for you to hold things in your hand. Mm-hmm. So like Sea Salt and Paper, the round ends at 7, mm-hmm. but you can like challenge people to beat your score, or you can just score it.
Yeah.
And there was one round I was playing with Nathan where I knew he had like 5-6 cards in his hand. And I was like, I know you're stockpiling, but you don't want to put them down because you don't want to have 7 points. So when I got to 7, I was just like, all right, let's score.
Yeah.
And I didn't give him that extra turn.
Absolutely.
And so he was like, oh, wait. Oh.
Yeah.
I don't get. And I was like,
oh, well.
Them's the breaks.
There you go.
Sorry, buddy.
Got to play it, you know, how the game's meant to be played. So
there's some games where that really matters.
It does. It does. Yeah. And that's the difference. It's like a game that points are kind of hidden. You know, that's different, especially if, as an example, there's like a card game and you knew they drew a card and maybe you've been counting in your head of all the different cards, but not everybody else knows that. Like you can say like, hey, I think they're about to win, but nobody knows that for sure.
Yeah.
And I don't think you should be continue to like say, hey, they're going to win. I saw them draw all these cards. Like you kept counting, but like not everybody else was. So yeah. I don't think you should be sharing that.
Yeah, I mean, even in a game that almost everyone's played, like Uno, you know, it's very common for people to be like, how many cards do you have?
Yeah.
Because people will start like closing their hands together.
Exactly.
To just look like they have one card and you'll be like, no, I have three. And you got to catch people because sometimes they are being a little sneaky.
They are. And I think when it comes to cards, and a good rule book will specify, like this is public knowledge, like so you have to share if somebody asks. So I mean like there's some stuff you can't keep a secret, like you just gotta, it's public knowledge.
I think there was a story I covered with Ashley where there was something like that in the game of life, but the one person was saying, oh, it was if like you landed on a spot where you're supposed to pay someone, and they didn't remember to ask, so the turn moved forward. And in the Game of Life's rule book, it says you have until the subsequent turn starts to ask for that money. Oh. So you have like a grace period, kind of. But this person that was writing in was like, well, in the Monopoly rule book, it says that as soon as the next person rolls. And of course, the comments were like, but you're not playing Monopoly. You have to use the rule book for the game.
Yeah, that is totally true. No, you have to. And yeah, I mean, some are like that. I mean, you say that. Yeah, if it's like on to the next two person's turns, like in general, I don't allow stuff like that unless like everybody's new and they're like, oh, I forgot. And then they ask and like if it's OK with the table, like all of those things. But like, yeah, if it's just like you tried to like zoom through it and get through it quickly so that nobody was paying attention, like not the same.
That's a not nice way to team up on people. To be like, oh, you forgot.
Exactly.
Roll my dice.
No, not okay.
Well, speaking of questionable behavior,
oh no,
we'll end with another discussion.
Okay.
Question.
Okay.
From r/board games again. This comes from Board Game Revolution. Do you have an annoying player in your group? If so, explain. Or could it possibly be you? I might be the guilty that guy. I tend to talk through all my turns and try to undo moves I made like 5 minutes ago. Haha.
Not okay.
So you're agreeing. You're saying, yeah, you are the...
I know. I hope I'm not the annoying person. When it comes to a group, like, I guess there might be one person that, like, is a little bit more talkative than they should be or whatever, but, like, this stuff doesn't really bother me. So, so I don't have that person in my group yet. Maybe that one day, but maybe I am that person. Maybe that's what it is. But, I mean, I'm the one hosting, so they did say yes to come to my house. So,
They've agreed
to endure my, my craziness, but... Yeah, no, it is challenging because they're, you know, I've definitely been in either a game night or whatever. And, you know, some, if this person's a little odd or they don't fit in with the rest of the group, it is challenging because you're trying to be welcoming and kind, and then, you know, also like, you know, maybe they just talk a lot during the game and it's kind of distracting or whatever. Like, it is challenging to kind of reel that all in. And so just being mindful of the space. My strategy in that is just making, like, trying to keep the game moving. As long as we're doing that, then I don't care about any of the other stuff. It's okay.
Top comment from Houston Ag 1980 that I do. He's insufferable, especially in solo games.
Oh, gosh.
So he's talking about himself.
That's funny.
Yeah. J-Ron 32 says, yeah, maybe don't do that. I've got my move planned out and ready to go. Components set aside, cards pulled out of my hand, whatever, and ready to hit the board the second my turn starts. I do it while others are taking their turns. If their actions interfere with what I'm going to do, I reorganize before my turn starts. There's no reason for a turn in any game to take more than about 60 to 90 seconds. Okay, this person is very organized.
Yeah, no, I don't live my life like that. I'm really bad about taking long turns. So I am totally fine with other people doing it because I understand, like, sometimes it's hard for me to piece together a turn, like, especially when things change. Yeah.
He continues, there's always one guy at the table where, you know, when they start their turn, you can get up to go to the bathroom, go grab a snack.
Oh, he's talking about me. Emails. They're talking about me.
Run to the grocery store, pick up a few things.
Maybe not that long, but maybe.
And then you get back to your seat and the game state hasn't changed and he's still staring at the board asking about some obscure rule interpretation.
I don't think I do that, but I do understand the long turns. Like, I try and keep up with them. Like, I do realize I take long on my turn. So I understand that person. Information doesn't get as processed as quickly in some people than it does others. So I'm one of those person. It kind of takes a minute for me to, like, realize, okay, what am I, now that everybody's gone, what can I do now?
Yeah, I try to be very ready to go on my turn if a path is clear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, if it makes sense. And then I have backup ideas.
Sure.
But then if someone has taken what I want to do, which happens in all worker placement games.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then I do need a minute to go, okay, wait, hold on, strategy. Like, I played Apiary at the retreat and my whole strategy ended up hanging on being able to retrieve this one of the, like, victory hexagons, the, like, end game
hexagons. Yeah, the victory buildings or something.
Yeah, that you can add to your colony. And I was like, if someone else takes that, my score is trashed.
Yep.
I get like 3 points at the end of the game and that's it. And people got close. And then you have to have that poker face of like, oh yeah, I don't know. What do you want to do?
Yeah, you go ahead, take that one.
Yeah, whatever. And then, but I luckily got it. I still don't think I won, but again, my score would have been like a quarter. Yeah,
you scored good. What you could.
If it wasn't that.
No, I definitely try and plan out as much as I can. But yeah, sometimes some of the games are a little bit more reactionary. If you're drawing cards before you do anything, then you have to see the cards. And then, is it like a worker placement? Like, yeah, you either get bumped or stuff gets taken. And so, like, you know, some of those games, you're like, when your turn ends, and you're like, oh, what do I want to do my next turn? I'm like, okay, I want to do this. Well, by the time your turn comes back around, you're on like, okay, well, I wanted to do this. Now I have to do this. Oh, I wanted to do either of those two things. Now I have to do this. And then it's like you're on like step five, like that you could have done it or rather have done. So it is what it is sometimes. So it does take a minute to kind of process all that.
I definitely have long turns to if there's a game that has like final rounds, because sometimes there's things that it's like, oh, if I burn this resource, though, I'll get more. Like, if I don't play exactly along the rules and I do something different, I'll actually come out one or two ahead.
Yeah.
And so then when you start doing that math, it like takes a minute. And I think I've referenced this story before, but I was next to someone playing Heat one time that was like calculating the statistical probabilities of, you know, drawing more Heat.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And I was like, no.
Yeah.
That's too far. Like, I really respect your love of math. I really do. But no, I'm just going to burn out, I think.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, that game I've played with, yeah, I play with an engineer and he's fantastic. He beats me every time because of that. I don't count. Like, I try and count. And I do, like, I'm decent at the game. Like, I'm not, like, in last, but, like, I usually get, like, third in almost every game. Like, I guess that's average. So, hey, there you go. But, like, still, it's some people, like, in a game like that where it is just, like, technically just math. If you just math it out, then you're okay. There is a little bit of variability in there. But if you're good enough to just math it out, then, yeah, you know, counting everybody else's cars in your own. Yeah, I mean, you can just figure it out. But I'm not there to do that. I'm not figuring. I just want to play my cards and move on.
Well, that's one of my, like, that's one of the roots of my fears around trick-taking games. Which, some of the newer ones that are more quirky and whatever, I'm totally cool with. But the traditional, the rook, the bridge, the traditional ones, I get so nervous because, like, I played with my dad growing up. And he could track all of that super easily.
Keep track of all the cards.
And I don't even know that it was him being a math whiz. It was just his experience level.
Sure.
But he, you know, he'd be like, oh, the deuce is still out. Oh, this is still out. Oh, don't do that. And I would be like, yeah, I have a rough idea.
Yeah.
But I'm only willing to use so much of my brain power in this moment. So I'm not counting the cards. I'm not trying to Rain Man this right now.
Like, no, that's... Like any, yeah, he or like any of your trick takers, my brain capacity is like, I can't handle all that information. If I sat down and tried, I could do it.
Right.
But I'm not actively choosing that in the game. I'm just there to have some fun. Like, I'm just trying to react and remember like a little, like maybe like the last couple cards.
I just thought about this too. I'm so trained that like leadership is so important.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I'm the captain in a game of the crew,
yeah,
I am counting cards. Yeah, it's 100% brain power.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, no, wait, we have to.
I agree.
I can't lose a single one.
Yeah. No, I think that's different. Yeah. If you're like leading a team, then that's might be a little different, but.
But in a competitive thing, it just makes me so nervous because I'm like, I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm not interested. Not interested.
I don't want to, and I'm okay if I lose.
Exactly.
Too Much Too Jung says, I spent years getting frustrated with my best friend because he refused to accept he needed reading glasses. It was always the lighting that was at fault, or the writing was unreasonably small. A couple years ago, he finally relented and got some glasses. Which was great, except now he's struggling again and again blaming the lights.
No, no.
Hopefully it will be easier this time to get him some stronger lenses.
I haven't come across this situation too often. So
I just saw a short on Instagram of a board game account covering this where they were like, when you realize you finally need glasses and they're holding the cards like.
I have seen that. Yeah, I'm not there yet. But yeah, I mean. Yeah, it's challenging. I mean, to be fair, the writing on some of the cards are pretty tiny. So yeah, it is hard.
I've been like glasses since the fifth grade, so let's go. Doesn't scare me. I did play with my mother-in-law and we played Flamecraft. And she's kind of at a transition point in her eye care as well, mm-hmm. where it's about to get more serious. And she kept having to like get up and walk around the table and bend over each individual store and read. And you're a little bit like, can we read it to you? Do you want us to share? You? You're very heron-like this moment.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, no, I've definitely, but what's funny is I've done that though. Like, I just felt like everybody was like busy. So I was like, I'm just going to go up and read it myself. So I understand.
No, there's always like, there's opportunities to do it. If you see someone doing it for an hour, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Maybe. Hey, can you share that again?
Let me help you. Black Waffle says, my favorite is the guy that's on their phone the whole time you explain the rules and then complains about the game being difficult. Bonus points if they accuse you of not following the rules simply because they didn't pay attention to half the explanation.
This is a pet peeve. This one gets me. So I can't stand it when people aren't paying attention when I'm teaching rules, especially on their phone or like talking in between each other while I'm trying to teach. Oh my gosh, that drives me crazy. Like, absolutely. So now I feel for that one. Oof. Yeah, that one gets me every time. And then they accuse you that you don't know the rules. Yeah, that one's good. Yeah. That's good.
Okay, so the response to that is even better if they say, let's just learn the rules as we go and then proceed to complain. You didn't say that before we started.
Oh my gosh. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that one, though. Yeah, you didn't say that before we got started. Yeah.
This
Except
one.
I did, actually. I, what's funny is, yeah, you always, but you did, and they just don't remember.
So Black Waffle responds again and says, the Venn diagram of forever DMs and game night rules person is a circle.
Yep, it is. It truly
Which
is.
You're an exception, though, because you don't DM.
Yeah, I don't. But if I did, it would be a circle.
It would be a circle. You're the one little dot out there.
That's just waiting to be, you know, filled into the puzzle.
Sinful Psychosis responds to the original, you know, plays on their phone and doesn't listen to the rules and says, this comment literally gave me a flashback. I played an action and everyone accused me of withholding rules, which I read to them specifically because it was an often missed or forgotten edge case. Game night became a yelling match. I was concerned it might devolve into fisticuffs. Ironically, I was the only male at the table.
Oh my gosh.
Some lady gamers be tripping, y'all.
Oh,
I love how we went from fisticuffs to tripping.
Yeah. Wow. What a story. I really want to know what happened, but maybe I don't. But that's crazy.
Subnormal Orla says, I try to talk through my turns when playing with novices. I do this so they can get an idea of the strategies available in the game. Once players are all familiar with the game, I no longer talk through my turn. No one has yet yelled at me for talking through my turns, so I suppose it isn't inherently bad. Trying to undo moves you did in the past, though, that is not territory I have ever jumped into. You need to look up... Is this a word? I'm genuinely going to look it up. It's a word. Satisficing?
What?
Is a decision-making strategy or cognitive heuristic that entails searching through the available alternatives until an acceptability threshold is met.
Wait, what? What is the word?
Satisficing. Like, instead of satisfying.
Okay.
So it's like going through all your alternatives to find something acceptable, but not necessarily maximizing.
Right.
While we've learned.
Look at that. That's cool.
J.K. Liho says, it's honestly probably me when I'm doing badly. What follows is a steady stream of negative self-talk. Also, I'm way too quick to declare that I've lost the game. It's usually correct, but I've won enough of those games that it's a bit of a meme in my group.
Man, that's funny. I have this running joke with Jared that I'm just bad at board games, so... Because I've done this, I'm like, yeah, what I've lost like terribly, I'm like, oh, this is just so bad. I just want to stop.
I mean, we talked about way back in the long games episode that sometimes people need to be allowed to bail. It's few and far between, but sometimes it's truly lost. Yeah. All is truly lost. But for the most part, stick it out.
I think it's good to stick it out. But yeah, there are some games where if it's like they just have no shot and it's like they can be easily eliminated and not change anything, then that's fine. But yeah, it's so hard. And what's funny for me, if I've started terribly in a game, my personality is like, oh, I kind of, what if I came back here?
Yeah.
So then I start like, even what I try and do is just make it an honorable mention at the first, second, third, and fourth place. Like,
sure.
I just want to be close. If I'm close, like, I don't care. So, especially if I start out terribly, my goal is to be like just respectable. A respectable score is what I felt like I accomplished something.
We were playing Blew It the other day on Teams. So there were six people, three teams. And one team did not get on the board with 800 points for, I kid you not, 10 turns.
Wow.
And then my team and the other team were very close in points until the end.
It was a two-man race.
Yeah. And then we get to the end in the team that was kind of running with us finishes, breaks the 10,000 and, you know, calls it, and you get the chance to go around. This team that was like 3,000 behind and took half the game to not get on the board immediately rolled like full hands, like triple doubles, and then another triple double, and then something else, and came back and won.
Whoa.
And that was the crazy thing where you were like, yeah, I mean, down but not out.
Yeah, that's right.
You know,
you never know.
You get knocked down, but I get up again.
Yeah.
Little tub thumping. And reference.
I mean, the thing about games, like, I'm into sports, so like, I love the underdog and like coming from behind victories. So in games, I think there are specific games that like that's like impossible. Like a consistent scoring is like number one. But there are some games, like I think a good majority of other games, like if you start wheeling and dealing, there's always a way to come back, like in a lot of games. So
get back in it.
That's where the fun is. Who doesn't love
a
come from behind victory to end the night?
Absolutely. Like
it's just a feel good story. Even for me, like if I'm sitting there and my friend pulled it off, I'm like, I think everybody at the table is like, man, that was so cool. Like that's an experience that everybody at the table was like, that was such a good job. That was so cool.
Like in the Blue game, no one was mad that they lost. We were all like, well, dang.
Yeah, that was crazy. What a play.
Saved all your luck till the final round, but it worked. Like, good job.
Yeah.
Okay. We didn't stay strictly on table talk.
Yeah.
So we talked a lot about it.
Talked a lot about different things that happen at a table.
Which counts, I think.
That's right.
Any final advice, thoughts?
Just keep it respectful.
When it comes
I think
back
that's
to.
The best way to approach it, because you know games are they're competitive. People kind of get feisty, and I think it's all for fun. So, especially when something gets a little challenging with a rule, then you just try and keep it respectful and come to an agreement. I think is always the way to look about it.
I think that works. Well, those are our stories on today's table topic. Maybe you agree, maybe you disagree. Tell us about it. Maybe you have a story of your own you want to share. We'd love to bring it to the table. Check out our links in the show notes. Good luck on your next game, and we'll catch you again here on Table Topics.